Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Show away the haters. Show away the haters. Show.
Sometimes it's good to just yell about football. What are you doing? Don't do this to me, Harry! The Ohio State. It's Ohio State! What do you mean, the? It's a poison. I almost stroked out and died over it. I'm glad to be at the party. I'm mad we're this late. You ain't a captain of nothing but a sinking ship. That helps the defense without them even doing a damn thing. Doing a damn thing. Get a call in line. 312-988-15. You tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Oh, Irish. Yeah. Good morning. That's right. Welcome in. Welcome back, folks. I see Dr. John on his weekly Wednesday phone call. I wonder where him and Pat are traveling to this week. Dude, those two are always on the move. I'm a little jealous. Every week, Dr. John and Pat are both somewhere, who knows where. I'm starting to think they're playing a game on me where those two just teamed up and they travel the country and golf and drink and hang out. So it's good to see John on the lines here. We'll get to him. He says, good morning, John and the Green Gang, as opposed to the Gang Green. Yeah, that's a different problem, Dr. John. That's a different problem, one we don't have. Deborah, good morning to you. The Chiefs here. This is going to be a well-rounded show. Monday, we got sidetracked Monday. I had 14 strokes in a row in an hour and a half in the off-season. In the off-season. We're in it. They're not even really practicing right now. And I managed to have 14 strokes. Like, it's just the way it goes here. But we got sidetracked Monday. So I have some of that stuff that I want to go over. And then a couple of new things as well. One of them, I don't see anybody talking about, but there was some interesting notes from Freeman that he sat down and did an interview. It wasn't with Notre Dame, somebody else. And there's some bullet points from that I want to go over that are interesting. Also, we got to talk about Nick Saban. I can't do it. We're not doing this. We have got to talk about that. This guy's up here now in Congress talking about too much power going to the, you're going to end up in college football. We're heading to a path where some teams are going to have all the power and people are getting paid, and that's not right. This dude's unbelievable. He's been the biggest beneficiary of unequal power and the pay-for-play market forever. And now that he's done, oh, he's Mr. Moral. Now that he's done, it's all about the morals and it's not right and whatever. And he's literally sitting up there in Congress, literally on Capitol Hill, talking about, you know, we're barreling down a path where the rich get richer and the more powerful get more powerful. Yeah, dude, you were the head of that movement. And now that everybody else can do some of that stuff, you don't like it. And now that you're retired, you feel free to blow the whistle on it. It's really disingenuous. It rubs me the wrong way. You know what I have more respect for? See, I wasn't planning on starting here, but now here we go. And we got phone, we got callers. I'm going to go to you. You can't, all he talked about recruiting and all that is how many guys we put to the NFL, all, you know, and whatever, and all the money. They talk about the money that their draft picks make and all that, but he doesn't want them to make money. Like, I would have more respect in this situation if he did more like Dabo, where Dabo doesn't like any, it's super clear to me, Dabo does not like the transfer portal. He does not like NIL. While it's bad for him personally and the business he's trying to do, I respect Dabo while he's the head coach speaking out about things, saying he doesn't like it. He's been very, very clear about the portal and NIL that he's not a fan of it. While it's not a wise coaching move to let that be known as strong as Dabo has publicly, I respect that more than Saban using all these levers to his advantage all these years to have all the power he did. And then the second he retires, he's throwing the flag and he's out there in Congress saying this is all wrong. You don't get that kind of moral credit when you only take the stand when you're done benefiting from the system you're now complaining about. He has been the number one beneficiary of out-of-shape power dynamics in college football forever. And then now that it's over, he's blowing the whistle. I respect Dabo more, even though it's a dumb move for Dabo to say all that stuff he thinks out loud while he's trying to recruit. It's a bad move for football the way Dabo did it, but he can't. He's one of those guys that's got to say what he really thinks. So he's out there saying he does not like the portal. He does not like NIL. But, and again, all the, we're, he's, Saban's up there in Congress saying, he's saying, Saban spoke a lot about this while at Alabama. What are you talking about, John? Bro, Nick Saban's been, Alabama's been paying guys under the table for 50 years. 50 years. I'm not just talking about legal NIL. Alabama's had an operation going for 50 years to funnel money to players. And now I got to hear from Saban that that's wrong. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with this. And I absolutely refuse to be gaslit by this guy that used all these power levers to his advantage for all these years. And now that he's done, he's blowing the whistle. You're going to act like Alabama wasn't paying players before NIL became a legal thing? You're out of your mind. You're not paying attention. No way. No way. What I think happened is Saban didn't like when everybody else could play his game. That's the turn. The turn in Nick Saban where the switch flipped to maybe I should think about retiring soon happened right when everybody else could play these games. I ain't falling for it. I ain't that stupid. And it isn't about legal NIL Saban's talking about. They were a part of the original pay-for-play, literal duffel bags of money to people. My complaint predates NIL. He only went up there pump faking. He only went up there and talked against all this stuff because he didn't like other people could do it. Wake up. Wake up to the realities here. You think Saban was doing that on moral grounds? You're out of your mind. He didn't like other people being able to do what they've been doing and had a big market for because everybody. And Chief says, No, Saban is correct. Multiple of these things can be true at the same time. Saban can be correct. I'm just not trying to listen to it from him. I'm not saying Saban's not saying. I'm not saying that there's no validity to what Saban's saying. I'm saying I'm not listening to it from that guy who's been the biggest benefactor of unequal power dynamics in college football forever. And then the minute he's done, he's against it. No. He didn't like, there's two things he didn't like. Number one, he did not like when everybody else could do NIL. Didn't like that. Leveled the playing field that the SEC had a big corner of the market on. Didn't like that. Also, the players getting more control and power over what happens to them. He did not like that. He is an old emperor used to getting guys in there and then you. So this all started trending away from him. So I'm not saying Saban doesn't have points that are valid. I'm not listening to it from him though. Like, that's what I want to be clear about. I'm not saying he doesn't have any good points, but he ain't the vessel that I'm listening to. It's just not, it rubs me the wrong way. Like he's Mr. Morality there, and all the Alabama program was about developing athletes and good students. The athletes part, yeah, but like, give me a break. So I don't know, whatever. It just rubbed me a little the wrong way because of all the guys I want to lecture to about all this stuff, he ain't on the list. He ain't on the list. So whatever. Oh man. Rough start again. Here we go. John, would you rather talk about how BK is the winningest coach or Sam Hartman's hair? Sam Hartman's hair. Sam Hartman tried his best. It just wasn't good enough. That's a different kind of feeling than the one Kelly gave me. Like I give Sam a hard time just because he's so darn good looking and wasn't good enough football. So yeah, I would rather deal with anything with Sam, whatever. T.O. did a podcast with Jonathan Allen and they talked about everything taken care of for them with the academics. I don't understand if people live under a rock or what. Like, are people naive? Are there really people in this chat right now that think Alabama never paid guys under the table to go there before NIL was legal? Is that what you guys think? Is there really people that think Saban's so regal and just so above board that is not how they accumulated all that talent, all those, a part of it? I'm not saying he isn't a good recruiter and winning makes more guys want to come. I'm asking it. You really don't think that has been a part of the program at Alabama for a very long time? Unbelievable. I'm not doing that, Chief. Again, you're going black and white, and I'm saying multiple things could be true at once. Certainly he's good, but if you're acting like any of those guys went to class and they weren't getting bags of money before NIL, you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. I've told this story before. I personally know a guy that was asked to be an Alabama bagman. And I heard all about, this was not right now, this was a long time ago. But I was filled in on the process and how it goes. And this is a guy from Alabama that was associated with the program, was trusted, and was approached by Alabama people on how this all goes. This is just, it's been a thing for a long time. So when I see Saban sitting up there talking about the morality of all this, it makes me need a barf bucket. But for some reason, Everybody's like, well, he's a king and he could do no wrong. And when he speaks, we all need to bow down. Go away. Enjoy your money. Enjoy your rings. Going out with Tiger Woods and Ricky Fowler in your new neighborhood in Jupiter. Go to the golf course. Go to the Seminole Club down the road where Tiger and Rory are members and go play golf. And it's just, I was being gaslit. You know what it reminded me of? Anytime any of these big time politicians on either side talk. I'm being gaslit the entire time where it's just like, no, I'm not taking this lesson from you. Like, whatever, even if your message is, I'm not trying to take this lesson from you. That's kind of where I'm at. But if anybody here thinks, oh, Nick's all above board, Alabama, how they built those dynasties, nothing going on there with guys not having to go to class, not being able to read and write, but that's fine. And, yeah. I'm not doing it. All right. Let me get through the introduction. And then I got phone calls. I'm going to bring it to the phone calls. We got a few early. I'll go to you guys. Hold on what I had. I have no problem holding on to what I had. So I'll do the super chats and bring it right to the callers. As always, you can find the program on YouTube. Do it. Subscribe. Appreciate that very much. Get a video thumbs up. That helps Johnny out as well. Notifications on, that way you will learn it every time a new episode drops. Twitter, search bar, always Irish. Rat, always Irish Inc. Emails, alwaysirishnd@gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want it. You can get it. The call-in lines. 312-988-15. Tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Instagram, Facebook, always Irish Inc. USA Today, Irish Wire. Read all about it. Patreon.com/alwaysirish. Former captain, leading tackler, by the way. Mike Goolsby and myself breaking it all down. We have a good time over there. Thank you to everybody that's there already. Appreciate that. And as always, be sure to go to ndsubwayalumni.com. Listen, blue and gold's coming up. Go get a t-shirt, get a Lewski to bring to the next tailgate. It'll be a big hit. Really good guys over there. And the Subway alumni cause is an important one to me. So that's the deal with the Saban thing. I'm not saying he doesn't present some points that are accurate. He is not the appropriate vessel I want to hear from about it, because I know how he built all this. And now he's against it all once he has no way to benefit from it. It's just, the timing is gorgeous. I just, man, whatever. Again, multiple things could be true. Saban's really, really good. Maybe the best ever to do it. And all that's true and all that. And this stuff was going on. It's all true. Who would I care to hear it from? Somebody that I didn't know for a fact was doing pay for play before it's legal and setting up classes guys never had to go to and then graduate or not graduate. It didn't matter. How about that? Just anybody that I didn't know for a fact had this huge operation going where school wasn't a part of it and you weren't paying duffel bags to the best guys. Even if it was a guy I didn't know, but I had questions about, but not one I know for sure was doing it. No, I'm not open to it. I'm just not. I'm just not doing it. If you guys want to be lectured to by a guy that used every advantage possible and is now doesn't want anybody else to, go for it. But I'm not getting talked down to that way. I'm just not doing it. Mike Gundy. I'm 50. What is he, 50 now? I want Mike Gundy on Capitol Hill. I'm a man. I'm 50. And I don't like this NIL stuff. But I'm a man and I'm 50. Come at me about it. Man, you never know where this dumb show's going to go. It's a beautiful thing. Let me do a couple super chats and I'll bring it to the callers. $10 holler from Eric, my lawyer in Michigan. I agree with John 1,000%. Week one perception against A&M is huge. It sets the tone for the whole year. Again, what I've been struggling with lately is I don't think A&M's going to be ranked either at all are that high. But this moment is one of the biggest ones for where Notre Dame could be. This is one of the biggest moments it could possibly be. Like, I'm having trouble not wanting to pump up Texas A&M and have Notre Dame people scared of the team. I'm balancing that with acknowledging what a big moment it is. And I don't know how to build up what a big opportunity and moment it is for Notre Dame to change narratives and all that. And the big showcase spotlight they're going to have week one with it's the moment is huge, but it isn't because Texas A&M's great. It's the moment. All the pressure on Freeman in year three in the history of Notre Dame coaches in year three. It's game one, and game one gets outsized magnitude and importance no matter what. It's in the SEC. It's going to be the moment is huge, and that momentum, you could lose this game and make the playoff. It's just that vibe from week one is going to be the undertone throughout the year. Whether it's miserable and glass half empty, or this is really different, we're off to the races. That's what it's going to be. And it's probably going to be an overreaction either way. And I'm probably going to lead the charge in the reaction either way. I admit that. So I'm having trouble not wanting to build them up like they're a great team, because I don't believe they're going to be. But the moment couldn't be bigger for Notre Dame. And I struggle with that balance. We shouldn't be scared to physically line up and play A&M. For me, it's more about what this moment is. So I don't know. $20 holler from Eric, my lawyer in Michigan. I disagree with John as it pertains to Freeman and BK. We had one where he agrees 1,000% and one where he disagrees. Eric, this is very well balanced, very lawyerly of you. I disagree with John as it pertains to Freeman and BK experience talk. A head coach is head coach. Prior experience should not enter the discussion. Head coach either wins or loses, not what he does in 12 years. You can think this, but it's not how the real world works. Like, you can think that, you can say that, like the game starts and it's just you win or lose and it's that moment and it's not connected to all that other stuff. But that's not how the world works and how things connect. I ask you, find me one other industry where you would ever say, being a lawyer or anything else, where you expect the same out of a guy doing it 35 years as you do his first year. Like, I would genuinely give, like, isn't it expected in any business or endeavor that the more decades of experience you have, you should get better at it? That's my only point. Now, that doesn't excuse losing. It doesn't make it okay to lose. It's not freebies to lose. It's just there's a different reaction to it when you know a guy's trying to learn than when he should have already known what he needs. They're just different things to me. Does it make losing okay? I'm not saying that. But I do judge it differently. A guy who has 40 years should be better and not make certain mistakes than a guy in his first or second year. I just think that's fair. I just think that's fair. Love the energy and vibe Freeman and the admin are putting out. It's a different vibe. Notre Dame need to be woken up a little bit. Mark, it's hilarious. Saban retired a few weeks later. He's at Capitol Hill on a crusade to stop players from getting paid. Looks like him and Miss Terry must get sick of each other already. Just go be with Tiger in the new neighborhood, man. Don't be lecturing to me about all the stuff you benefited from. Give me a break. Greetings, John. Been here and haven't been able to message. I like the JFK picture. Thanks for noticing that on the alternative set. 262 days to USC. I'll be at the game. Bob, you got a long wait. You got a long wait. Ryan Elliott, $10 holler. Thank you very much. Very nice. All right, callers, we're going to you after this super chat. $10 holla from the Chief to clarify from the last show again. I don't care if Freeman has 2 years or 20 years of experience. I'm not changing what I expect from ND football for anyone. Seems trending up off field. I need to see on field. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, that's... I'm trying to break this down. I'm not changing what I expect from ND football for anyone. I'm not asking you to do that. That's the sick part of this. You could expect the high level results, but if you don't reach it, why could be different, right? If Kelly doesn't reach it after 35 years on the job, getting the same not good enough result, that hits me different than a guy early in his career trying to learn this on the fly. I'm not changing the results. I'm changing the reaction to why we don't get the results, I guess. God, I don't like feeling like I'm making excuses for Freeman. I just want somebody to tell me what industry there is where a guy with 3 decades of tenure isn't expected to be better at the job than a guy just starting out. And I can't think of any. I don't know why this would be any different. I don't know. Oh, boy. Dr. John and I got a 770 and 419 are going to be the first three, and then we got more. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. He's alive! Ken! People have been asking about you, buddy. People really have been asking me where Ken is. I said, I think he's alive. Hey, my family. So what's new in the ND football world? What's been pissing John off this offseason? What's good, my people? I've been yelling about Nick Saban lecturing me from Capitol Hill about the morality of college football, Kent. If you want to know, you stepped right in when I got done yelling about Nick Saban lecturing me on morality in college football and not wanting too much power to go to the wrong people, right when he's done. It's just hilarious. The guy who's had the most power in the palm of his hand for this whole run is now up at Congress saying it's wrong for somebody to have that level of power. And no one finds this entertaining? Unbelievable. Oh, man. Kent, it's just good to have you here, man. I'm glad you're back. There you go. Dad, I agree with you. Saban needs to get a nice beach chair, go back to his Jupiter Island home, and shut the F up. Seriously, dude. I'm not getting lectured to from Capitol Hill by that guy about the morality of college football and power dynamics being a red flag. No, I'm being gaslit, and I'm not allowing it. Oh, Dr. John, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. A lot to talk about today, but some housekeeping first, okay?
Okay.
First of all, thank you for always taking my call first on Wednesdays. I know it goes back to your fear that what I told you early on when I sat on hold for so long in that motel in Schaumburg, I told you I didn't want to die on hold, and you've respected that ever since then. I appreciate that.
No problem. I know you're on the move a lot. You're always on the run, and some of those.
Hey, I got cabin fever. I'm not on the move at all.
What are you stuck somewhere where it's still cold? Is that your deal right now?
Yes, my deal right now. Yeah, I'm sitting here underneath the shadow of Livingston Mountain.
Well, that sounds scenic.
Yeah, it's scenic. I'd rather have a rhyme. I'd rather be at a rhyme for scenic, and that would be Phoenix.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a bad rhyme.
Close enough. You had to bend it a little bit. John, what's on your mind here? We're in this weird part of spring where the spring practice started. They had like one spring practice. Now we're on break. There's this like kind of pause in the action. Where do you want to go to?
When's the next session?
I think they're done. I couldn't find it. I'm pretty sure they're off for spring break all this week and then reconvene next week would be my understanding.
Okay, so the next practice would be next week sometime?
I would assume so when they all get back to campus. Yeah, that would be my guess.
All right. I didn't really sit down and watch it and listen to your Bush push thing, but it brought back a really bad memory for me. I mean, it probably wasn't even a minute before you realized we hadn't won that Bush push game. But what if you sat someplace for 10 to 15 minutes thinking you'd won? I'm going back to 1975. It was one of those years I couldn't get this game, Michigan State game, on the radio, no TV. So I'm doing stuff in the yard, and I'm just listening to scores. And here comes the score across: Notre Dame 10, Michigan State 3. Oh, I'm elated. I might even have cracked a beer and sat down out there on the picnic table enjoying it. 10 or 15 minutes later, the guy comes back, says, oh, we screwed up. Well, he didn't say screwed up, of course. We erred on that Notre Dame score. It was Michigan State 10, Notre Dame 3. So
that's brutal. That's really, really.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's a bad one. John, you know what I remember is, I remember those few seconds of joy. That's what I remember the most, when the clock literally ran out to zero and people were running on the field and it was triple zeros on the clock and Notre Dame was ahead. Yeah. I remember specifically that brief window of time where I thought we did it and I had that joy, and then it was snatched away in reality as a Notre Dame fan, and my generation hit me like a ton of bricks. But that's what I think about, is that little moment of time where I thought we did it. I'll never forget that feeling. I've been chasing it ever since.
How old were you then?
20-ish. Yeah. 19, 20, young kid, 21, okay. Maybe right around that.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about this before. I was at that game with my daughter, Stu. And yeah, it was, we were in the second deck, so there's no way we were going to rush the field. But yeah, it was grim. It was grim.
Yep.
Why'd you bring that up?
You're the one who brought it up today. It wasn't even on my radar. I'm yelling about other stuff. You brought it up.
All right. Well, I don't even want to touch the Saban thing because I didn't hear him. I have read nothing about it. As Sergeant Schultz said, I know nothing.
So, yeah.
So I'd rather talk about something else. I'll talk about a comment you made that kind of, I don't like this position if it's true, and that is the quarterback competition is for the backup. That would absolutely tick me off royally.
I just think it's the reality.
I hope it's the real competition.
I just think that's the reality. I don't care what they tell you. I think they have a plan, and it's CJ Carr redshirting, Kenny and Stevie fighting for number two, and then if Riley Leonard's healthy, he's the starter. There is nothing short of injury that's going to change my mind to think that's how they're seeing this spring. I don't care what they tell you about competition and we want everybody to do and we'll see wherever. I don't care what they tell you. That's what I think the plan is, barring injury.
Well, if that's the plan, I'm okay with the plan. But I hope that it's a real competition. Yeah, the coaches sit down and say, yeah, this is the way we see it going. But I hope that they really have a legitimate competition. I would be so excited if one of those other guys beat Leonard out.
Yeah, and the...
Because it tells me we got some class in that room.
Yeah, it's... Dr. John, here's the other thing nobody wants to listen to. Nobody wants to hear it. I think we would be naive as a group to not think all the big NIL money, doesn't play a part in this. You not like that? You could say that rubs you the wrong way. You could say that shouldn't have anything to do with the competition. I'm telling you, it matters. If you pay $1 million and bring a transfer in here and he doesn't start, you ain't getting the next million, because the people that ponied that money up want that guy it went to play. And if you go against that, good luck getting the next batch of money when they go, we gave you it last time and a guy was holding a clipboard for $1 million. We're not doing it. No one wants to hear that. And it sounds awful and dirty and not college football. It's a part of it. It is a part of it. It can't be talked about. Nobody will admit it. It is a part of the equation. It just is.
Okay, well, I could still see Leonard getting beat out for the starting job, and his NIL thing is still solid because of the way Notre Dame structures the thing. You know, I don't know what all the rules are, but if you can pay the guy for promoting, let's say, Catholic charities, so he's second. He's still going to get the money. He's going to do his promotion, and who cares?
Well, but the people ponying up all the way, but the people ponying up that money want it to go on the football field, and they don't want that money to go to the guy they're giving that much money to holding a clipboard. They want him to be out there playing, because the pitch to get that money is to the NIL collective and Brady Quinn. The pitch is, this is the guy we want. This is the guy that could help us on the field. It's not, this is the guy we're paying $1 million to go to Catholic charities and play dodgeball with the kids and tell them to donate or whatever at the Y. I'm just saying, nothing's going to change my mind of what this spring said. They want Carter redshirt, the middle two guys to compete for the backup role, and Leonard to be the starter if he's healthy. No, I don't see anything changing that. I don't care what videos I see for practice. I don't care any of that stuff. That's how I see it. And 1 year ago, Dr. John, we had this same argument, and everybody said Buckner's out playing Artman in spring, blah, 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 blah. And I argued till the cows came home, he's going to be the starter no matter what if he's healthy. So I don't know, man. I want it to be a real competition. I just don't know how realistic that is. I want it to be.
Yeah, I know. But what if one of those guys just shows up so much better than this guy? Are you going to start the second best guy?
I don't know. I know. I will see. Or,
well, I'm Coach Freeman, I got to figure out some other way to placate the Leonard NIL people or whatever. If I've got a guy who I know is going to be a better performer than Leonard.
Yeah.
And maybe Leonard's so far above everybody, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, that could be too. But it's a really, John, this is a good problem to have, though. If you end up in a situation this spring, if you end up in a position this spring where you have four guys that you really, really like, I'm talking about Riley Leonard you like, CJ Carr you like, what that could turn into. And then you got the middle two guys. Stevie's the most Notre Dame guy ever, and everybody loves him. And then Minchie, I think he's like the lost man here who has a lot to offer if you give him a shot. If we have all those guys in the mix and everybody likes what they're all doing, that's beautiful, baby. I'm here for that. That's a great problem to have, because I don't have to figure it out. Dr. John, like, I'm all for that problem, because I'm not the one who has to break the bad news to somebody they're not starting or whatever. Like, I want that problem. I've said it before, John, many spring games, I roll into Notre Dame Stadium not in a good mood, because I don't want to see any of our quarterbacks, because I know even the starters nowhere near good enough. I have went to many blue and gold games going, how bad's this going to be? Now I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. It's very refreshing.
Oh, I can't wait to see the game. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be great. But, there's a lot to look for. These young guys, Dr. John, we have some young guys built a little different. These guys are going to be – we have some twitchy athletes out there and some exciting young guys on both sides of the ball. I'm very, very excited for the rest of this spring. Should be great.
Well, and the second thing I'm going to be excited about is I think our wide receiver room is going to surprise the hell out of us.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's what I think.
Oh, Dr. John, that would be such a big, big boost.
I really do.
A needed boost, man. And I don't, again, the realities of spring ball. You hear a couple things. Oh, we got a couple burners and guys are going deep and we're doing all this. I want to buy in, but it's only spring. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And I don't even, is there even a meaningful depth chart right now? It'd be all based on last year, probably.
Yeah, kind of in a roundabout way. And you know what else too? I think didn't help last year. The numbers were low and bad already. With the wide receiver situation, I thought that. I totally lost my train of thought. I just read the chat, and the thought left my brain, Jeff. Totally lost what I was going at. I lost it. I'm looking at two different screens. Somebody said something in the chat that I was analyzing in my brain, and I'm not smart enough to do two things at once.
I got enough trouble just staring at my phone.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Tell me about it. I don't even remember what I was going at with that.
Okay. Well, it'll come to you.
Yeah.
There's two things that I'm looking at next year and a couple of different things. First of all, I'm excited about seeing what happens in the Big Ten and the SEC. I mean, what a different year for these two conferences. So I think there's going to be some fun there.
Yeah, that should be real. Seeing those,
yeah.
those West Coast teams in the Big Ten is going to be really an interesting college football experiment. Seeing all of those teams play it's going to be really interesting. And then also, you know, the new teams joining the SEC, seeing how they're able to compete and where they fall in the pecking order with Oklahoma and Texas and all that. It's really going to be an interesting thing to look at. And then we'll see what happens with the ACC. If teams leave there, what happens? How does it all impact Notre Dame? I don't know, but it's going to be there's going to be a lot of new this year in the sport, a lot of new.
That's going to be fun. The other thing is I looked at our schedule and right now I got to believe we'd be favored in every game.
I know. I've been thinking about that too. I struggle to see one where we wouldn't be on surface. And then a couple of them you have at home, which helps you even more a little bit. What do they usually say? Give you a field goal benefit for being at home, something like that. You know, you got Florida State at home. You got Louisville at home.
That's the one.
Yeah. And I think
that's the one I looked at. The one I looked at, and I thought the same thing. The home field advantage makes the favorite.
And then the other thing, the thing with USC is it's the last game of the year, and I don't know what they're going to be. You don't know what we're going to be, but it's like that when they're the last game of the year, it's like I kind of wait a little bit to start worrying or thinking about them to see what they're going to be like. It's a little rocky there. Right? Like it didn't go well last year. They're not on that rising momentum. Lincoln Riley's a perfect coach and everybody be scared. We're coming. They're not that. Plus they're getting into that Big Ten schedule, which should be tougher than the Pac-12 week to week. So it's going to be an interesting experiment.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and look at SC's Big Ten schedule again. Last point,
pretty sure. Don't they have Michigan? Am I dreaming or don't they play Michigan or am I making that up? I thought they played Michigan. Do they play Michigan and LSU? I'm pretty sure Kelly starts out with USC this year. We're crisscrossing conferences like you wouldn't believe.
I think that may be right.
Oh boy, baby.
Yeah.
Woo.
That could be right. Yeah.
Doggy.
Okay. I'm going to take you to task a little bit. On the multiple things can be true statement.
Okay.
I think that's absolutely right. But contradictory things, one of those can't be true. So that's where you run into trouble.
Do you have something?
Now, I don't know that you've come up with any of that.
Is there something specific that I've said that falls under that? Or are you just saying that as a general rule for that kind of theory?
Well, I can't come up with any examples, but I'll spend the rest of the day going over the last year and a half of videos and see if I can find it.
Yeah, there you go. Do some deep dive research. Do some deep research there. Oh, Dr. John, this is going to be this.
All right, partner, I'll turn you loose.
All right. Hey, good luck with the cabin fever and hopefully warm weather comes and we can all get outside. Everybody just feels better when it's warmer and you can get some fresh air. It's good for all of us. Do me some good.
Yeah, well, we've had a couple 50-degree days, but that's not enough and the golf courses aren't open.
Yeah, so. There you go. Dr. John, God bless you, my friend. Have a good day.
Hey, man, you hang in there. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Take care. See you. Dr. John. Look at dude. Kent just shows back up. Apparently, he's an orthodontist now. Last time I talked to Kent, he's over here working for the government doing the USPS stuff. And then now he disappears. And a few months later, now he's a top orthodontist in the country. Kent, what are you doing? How are you? What a well-rounded skill set you have, Kent. You're all over the place. I love it. 770-419-773-770, what's going on? Good morning. If I could hit the button. There we go. What's going on?
Hey, John. First-time caller. Love the show. Three things on my mind. Texas A&M.
Okay. First off, thank you for being a first-time caller. I always love that, trying to get people in the mix here to call more regularly. Appreciate you dialing us up. So break down for me where your mind is at with that. I don't know if you were listening a little bit ago when I said my struggle is how to separate not being scared of Texas A&M's roster, but having respect for what a big game moment this is for Notre Dame. That's very tricky in my mind to be able to decipher. What do you make of this?
I agree with you 100%. I think my issue has been listening to the show and hear some callers say that Texas A&M is trash, the SEC is trash, where they're not worried about the game. And if it was still Jimbo as the coach, I might agree with that. But, you know, they got a real coach now. Elko is the real deal.
Yeah.
And they got talent and they got more money than us times three.
Yep. Yep. So, you know what you hope? Let me throw this at you. I've thought about this too. Obviously, I respect Elko and the kind of guy he is and what a solid coach he is. Now, here's the thought though. As good as Elko is and as much respect as we have for him as Notre Dame people, if ever there was a time to get a Mike Elko team, it would be year one, week one, right? Year one, week one, no matter what he's trying to instill and do and put in play and all that, it isn't going to be a finished product week one, year one. So I think it should be tougher for you to play A&M the next year when they come to, yeah, it's at home, but he'll have a whole year to put his roots down and do all this. I just think there's no way that's going to be a polished operation week one, year one in that defense or anything they're doing. Get them while the getting's good.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the thing that scares me is if we come out in our first away game, like we did in our away games last year, Duke, Louisville, Clemson, even Stanford, we came out flat.
Yep.
We come out flat in A&M with 100,000 screaming rednecks down there in 100-degree heat.
Yep.
And our boys are going to have deer and headlight looks.
Yep. It's going to be a long, sweaty night. Yeah, I could see that too. I'm with you there. And here, can I ask you this? I don't have the answer to this, but it's been bothering me. Why do you think there's a trend where Notre Dame does not start out playing solid football on the road? If it happened once last year, you could get over it. Maybe twice, you could be like, whatever. It was a bona fide trend last year, and I'm really uncomfortable with it. What do you think caused that? I don't have a good answer. I'm asking.
I mean, my opinion, it's the head coach. I mean, that's his job to get those players ready to play. Now, you can argue that the defense played well in those games and kept us in most of those games, except maybe Louisville at the end, but they were on the field so much it couldn't help.
There you go. That's the other part of it. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Marcus's job.
Yeah, and the other one, it's Marcus.
Hopefully he's matured.
It's a bad problem to have, man. That's a really bad problem where that's your trend, and then you're going into the SEC week one for a night game. Like, it's a rough trend, but it's got to end.
No, it has to. And look, I think Denbrock helps. The offense played worse than the defense last year, and you got a different guy at the top. He's been there three times before. He coached, we talked about it over the weeks. Heisman Trophy winner. You know, I think Denbrock helps get the offense pumped. I think he's got a better play calling. So everything's trending up. I'm very positive. Can we beat A&M? Hell yeah. Do I think we will? I think we will. But if we come out flat like we did last year, we better be careful because we'll get punched in the face.
Now, let me ask you this too. Now, I'm not acting like I'm a player and I know what that's like. I struggle to find a world where it would be possible for me to have the first game of the year we've all been working towards and building up to. It's our first game of the year. Everybody's excited. How can you come out flat in that moment? How can anybody be emotionally flat for the first game of the year in a big moment? How can you sleepwalk? That doesn't even seem possible to me.
I agree 100%.
You know?
And we shouldn't come in against A&M like that. We need to go in there, punch him in the face, take the crowd out of it, and then just play our ball.
Yep. You're right.
And we can do it. I think we'll win, but we got to be real careful because they got talent and they have a real coach now. And I agree with you. Catching them in Elko's first game is a hell of a lot better than the second year. But look what Elko did at Duke in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke has no NIL money and they play in a high school stadium. And he was in every game that he had a healthy quarterback in last year.
And then the other thing is, sometimes I even forget this. Think about this. Who in the world is more aware of every one of Riley Leonard's strengths and weaknesses as a quarterback than the last guy to coach him? And then we end up running into him. It's like, what are the – how do you calculate that?
He's a defensive mind.
Dude, but – how do I even process that? The fact that I know there's this chess game. The fact that Elko knows everything about this guy and now it's all flipped and he's against them. And then how do we look at what Elko thinks he's going to get from Riley Leonard and then Denbrock set up so it isn't what he's expecting? I'm already playing these cat and mouse games and it's 6 months away. I might not make it.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh.
No, I agree with you. I think Denbrock is a deal. It's a huge hire. Couldn't have been any happier. I think we all went into the offseason going, oh my God, what are we going to do in offense? And then Jared goes away. Denbrock comes on. And everybody I've talked to can't be anything but 100% positive on this.
Yep.
We got the best OCDC combo in the country.
Yep. Here's a question I have. Man, I love when new people call. And another thing, sir, your phone line is crystal clear. Like when I'm looking at like good callers or whatever, phone line is crystal clear, baby. So I appreciate that very much. I don't know how. What are we expecting Mike Denbrock to practically like change? That's another thing I've been thinking about is I'm playing with in my brain. How obvious is it going to be? We have a different guy drawing up this offense. Is it going to pop up once or twice a game where you're like, ooh, I like that. We never had that last year. Or is there bigger scale stuff that's going to look more different on the whole? I don't know what we're going to get. And I'm here for it though, because I think I'm going to like it more than the last thing.
I hope it's the first series, John.
Yeah.
in College Station. I hope we see a difference right out of the chutes.
Yeah.
I'm an 87 grad, and I was there for 3 years of Jerry Faust and Lou's first year. So I saw was at the 88 championship game and the Fiesta Bowl. Fantastic. I want that feeling again.
Man,
I think we can get it.
Dude, I just want to know what that feels like one time. Can I just know what that feels like for us to be the best and have that pride and respect just once? I'd love to know.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I want it again. It's like crack.
Yeah, I know. You're chasing that eye, man. You're chasing that eye.
I'll tell you, there's a feeling that when we switched from Jerry Faust to Holtz, you could tell there was a sea change in the way the program was being managed. Okay. I'm feeling that now, and I hope it's just not optimism.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling the same way I did when I was 22 years old and we had a brand new head coach called Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think everything's pointing in the right direction. You know, when we were there with Jerry Faust, it was Pinkett, pass, punt. That was our offensive.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I feel that energy shift too. I feel the different vibe. They're getting more modern. They're doing a lot of the things behind the scenes that I've asked for. Like that's all happening. But you know how it is, man. If you got to prove it on the field or nobody's going to believe it, and they probably shouldn't ultimately. Like,
yep.
You got
to win.
You got to win. And it's just that week one thing, man, I can't get over it. You could lose week one and Notre Dame make the playoffs and have a really good year that we're all happy with. It's just not going to feel that emotional arrow so heavy with Notre Dame fans. Whatever direction it's facing, it faces hard. And it'd be really nice to get a feather in your cap week one to start this all off.
You lose week one and you can still make the playoffs, like you said, but you better run the table because at 10-2, Notre Dame's not going to be guaranteed to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. And the other thing is if you lose week one, there goes all your cushion. You know what I mean? Your leeway, like you're already buying the eight ball and then you feel like you got to be perfect for 11 weeks in a row. So there's a lot there. I know that place is going to be full. It's going to be loud. It's going to be hot. I heard they're one of the places that pumps in fake noise. Like you're going to get all the bells and whistles out of this game. And it's just time that Notre Dame emerges. It's time that Notre Dame is the team that makes the few plays in a big game to turn momentum early. Like it's just time. And I could see Notre Dame doing that. I could also see a couple dumb things happening and it spirals away from Notre Dame in the hot Texas heat. And then we're all miserable again. I could see both of those paths.
I agree. I think we'll do it. And it, like you said many times, the schedule lines up well for us.
Oh, man.
You beat A&M. You got to get to Louisville. You can beat Louisville, which I think they're beatable, especially at home.
Yep. The spacing of it is really, really advantageous, especially compared to last year's. The way I look at the spacing is all of your circled big game moments are kind of spread out pretty equally. A&M to start, and then you have a gap. Then you have Louisville at home, kind of have a gap. Then you have Florida State at home. And then a gap, and then out to USC. I like the way this is spaced. It's spaced the way it should be to give you a chance to make a good run. Last year was not.
Yep.
8 weeks in a row, different countries. No, you didn't do yourself any favors. A whole month in a row of primetime night games against undefeated teams. Some of that's bad luck, not scheduling, but that's brutal. Whoa.
Yep.
Man. Oh, anything else, my friend? Thanks for jumping in here. I appreciate you.
No, that's it. Just wanted to weigh in. I just think we can't overemphasize that first week. We win that and we're setting ourselves up. We lose that. We can still do it, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I see it the way you do. Let me ask you a question on the way out. I see the area code and all that's in the Atlanta area. Will you be going to that Notre Dame Georgia Tech game? Because it's going to be located in your neck of the woods. Could be an opportunity there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good one.
The last time we played them, we were supposed to play them in Mercedes-Benz in 20, and they ended up playing at Georgia Tech. It was during COVID. They sold maybe 5,000 tickets, so we were sitting in the Georgia Tech home football stadium, and I felt like I was at my son's high school or middle school football game. There was like 5,000 people in the stands. It was weird.
Yep, and there is another little group of our listeners that are down in Atlanta, and one guy that just moved from South Bend to Atlanta. There'll be a fun group down there at Notre Dame people. Hey, man, I really appreciate you calling. Save the number, call again. Crystal clear line and crystal clear thoughts. That's a good caller. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate you. Take care. Save the number. Dial me up again. I don't know why I did that accent. James, $5 holler. I'm going to the game. I just need to find affordable tickets. Yeah, and I don't know whether you're better off to do that ahead or to do it later and let the market play out. I don't know. James, it's really good to see you, man. I've actually thought about you, James, because you're usually around a lot in the season, and I haven't seen or heard from you. It's good to know you're doing okay. Really good to know. And hopefully we can see it for the blue and gold tailgate. But James, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it. Yeah, we play at the Georgia Dome, Kent, against Georgia Tech. Instead of being at Georgia Tech, I think it's their home game, but they're flexing it into that building. $5 holler from Kelly Roll. Instead of Jelly Roll, I'm assuming that's where this is, and it's Kelly Roll, and I see the picture, and it made me laugh. $5 holler. Can't wait to watch the male cheerleaders sit quietly on the side when A&M can't score against an elite ND defense. I already yelled about Saban today. I don't want to have to yell about another SEC team. Those male cheerleaders in the white overalls are weird. They are weird. What do they do down there? Do they inject some of that Texas oil into their breakfast smoothie and they all drink it? I don't know what's going on, but those people are not normal. Bro, those people are not normal. In what world is it normal for a bunch of dudes to wear white overalls and do cheerleading chants on a Friday night before a big SEC game? My weirdo alert button's going off. We do, weirdo alert. Pat, leave me alone. Here's the other thing, Pat. I saw your little chat earlier. I got to go back to the calls. Pat, I saw your little chat earlier. You said you were still deciding whether you were going to go to the Notre Dame Texas A&M game or not. Please don't go. Don't go, Pat. Don't do it. Every single big away game Pat goes to ends in more painful fashion than the one before it that he went to. Every single one that he goes to ends in misery. Stay home. Stay home. Florida State, Texas, Clemson. Every single big game Pat goes to, we lose. Everyone. And they're not like normal losses. He goes to the most painful Notre Dame losses you could ever find. Just Pat, stay home. Go in the garage. You up one of them 8-inch cigars you got. You don't need to go. Just stay in Illinois. Stay. I was at the OSU Fiesta Bowl. Every single big game Pat goes to, it ends in misery. I implore you to stay home. Look at this. Kent Jackson's in a hibernation for 6 months. He pops in here and now we're renting a party bus. Man, I love this show. You never know what you're going to get. I had people emailing me, you know, and my mom's asking, is Kent okay? I haven't heard from him. I wonder how his daughter's doing and all this stuff. Kent's off the radar, and then now he's back, and we're running a party bus, and we're traveling down to Atlanta with the people from the show, and we're picking people up coming down, and we're just having a big party. I love it. Brandon's down there. Brandon will show us what's going on. He's my South Bend guy that just moved down there, Brandon Fry. He has the original Always Irish flag from the tailgates. I gave it to him at the last one as a going away gift that he can put on his wall or outside in Atlanta to represent the group. We got it all figured out. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, that would be fun. A party bus driving down there, except I don't want to drive it. I want to be able to have some fun. Can somebody else drive the party bus? 419, you're on the line. What's going on?
Not much, John. How you been doing, man? Long time no talk to.
I'm doing okay, man. Ooh, September 13th, I'm showing on the call log. A lot of Notre Dame action has happened, my friend. Thanks for giving me a call. What's on your mind? We could go wherever you want. I haven't heard from you for a while. Let me know what's on your brain.
Well, I'm thinking I want to ask you something, and it has to do with the way we talk or the way we play on the road. And I've always thought it was because there's a lot more distractions on the road, you know? So like the younger the team, the more distractions, you know, the less player led. And I want to ask you, where are our player leaders? Like we used to have Kyron Williams. We used to have guys like that where you could look at and say, they're going to get the guys ready. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to have everybody ready to go down there yep. and be right in the and play the kind of football we need to play on the road.
Yep.
So who are the players that you are hearing about that are going to step up and be that leadership that we need?
Oh, it's such a good question. such a good question. Goolsby and I discussed that on the Patreon. And I went to Goolsby and I said, you're a former captain at Notre Dame. What is your obligation or responsibility as a captain of that team to make sure everybody is in the right frame of mind and is emotionally ready and in the right like zone and wavelength to enter a hostile moment in one of these road game environments? It's like, where's your leadership? Am I the only one that feels like we didn't have enough to find player leadership that year? Let me ask you this. Everything started out wrong against Louisville. Everything went the wrong way. The interception, the vibes, the crowd, we were not ready. Everybody could know we were in trouble. That very early, you knew we were in trouble. Who in the hell was the players on the sideline gathering the guys around going, this isn't going down this way. We need to make a play. Wake up. I didn't see anybody doing that. People were just sitting there all upset. Who is the leadership there going, wake up. We're not going out like this. And nobody made enough plays to do it by action instead of words either. Did we have a leadership problem last year? I want to ask.
Yeah, we did. We did. And Goolsby and some of the ex-players that were pushing back on Sam Hartman, I think they were the ones that knew that Sam Hartman had to be the leader. But when a guy comes somewhere mainly to focus on his own endeavors and his own career, that does not support leadership. That supports selfishness. And I think a lot of the team last year was a lot of selfishness. They've seen it from basically the top players down. Yeah. Some of the players that even stayed. And then even said, well, I'm staying for my draft stock. I'm not staying for the team. I'm staying to rise my draft.
Let me ask you this. And this is something I struggle with too. I don't know how it works when you have a transfer 1 year quarterback thing, just coming in 1 year deal. At Notre Dame, I feel like that journey means more. Do you follow me? Like guys that are in Notre Dame as recruits and you're there the whole time and you're getting through school and it's really tough and adjusting to life in Notre Dame for multiple years, going through the old Notre Dame, the rigors of Notre Dame academics and all that. sometimes I wonder what the vibe is when you just drop a guy that's in a leadership position by default by the position he plays, and you just drop him in out of nowhere one day, and he's suddenly your leader all of a sudden because he's the quarterback, and the quarterback's the default leader. But also, he hasn't been in all those battles and all those wars and all those workouts and the tough school and all that. Sometimes I just wonder how all the other guys accept that. Is it just he's the quarterback, he's our leader, let's ride? Hopefully, I don't know. I don't know how that goes.
Right. And I think that's why Riley Leonard's going to be a little bit better of a leader. Because you've noticed it. We've all noticed it. There's nobody's even because of the recruiting of the quarterback position.
I was going to ask you that,
dude. We're doing such a better job recruiting. We're all looking forward to seeing the younger guys now.
Tell me if
you've... Last year, you know, we had Steven Jelly and Kenny Minchie.
Yeah.
We weren't really looking forward to anything.
Yeah.
Now we are looking forward to stuff, and now we're not really paying attention to Riley Leonard. And I think that way he's going to be able to go a little bit... You know, he's going to be able to... He's already a little bit of an aloof kind of a guy, you know? He's kind of just, oh, shucks, I'm so happy to be here kind of a guy. He doesn't have the stupid hair and all the good looks. He doesn't have all the other things that we're looking at. He's just the football.
The beard?
He's more blue collar. He runs harder. When there's a fourth and one situation, we're not going to have to worry about him pulling up and going out of bounds too soon, you know? We know he's going to stick his head down. So I think his style of play is actually going to help the leadership because he's going to get up. He's going to run hard for those extra 2 or 3 yards at the end of a play. And those players are going to see that. And John, let me ask you this too. I've heard this, and I don't know if this is a true statement, but because of his injury and because of everything that happened coming into this year and the fact that we are kind of have a lot more stability in a quarterback room, I heard they're going to let Riley Leonard play full go in the blue gold game. Is that a true statement?
Ooh. I don't know, but it would make sense. If he's fully healthy, then it would make sense.
Yeah, I've heard they're not putting a red jersey on him or anything. I heard they're letting him go out there and run and do whatever he wants.
Beautiful. Let me ask you this. Are you telling me I'm not the only one that feels like I've noticed Riley Leonard's not getting all that smoke and heat and energy around him that Sam Hartman was getting a year ago? I feel like the reaction to us landing Sam Hartman was way more excited for the fan base and lasted longer than Riley Leonard. And I don't think I'm dreaming that. I just don't see people talking about him. And I think a part of it is what you said. There's younger guys we have our eyes on down the road. But also, is a part of it, in your opinion, people feel kind of burned by Sam Hartman? He was supposed to change things, and we ended up with 3 losses anyways. I think a part of it is people don't want to buy into one of these quarterbacks being the savior and be let down again. Do you think that's a part of it at all, or am I just in my own emotions here?
No, 100%. Like, we never got transfer quarterbacks, and if we did, it was, you know, just a depth guy or something stupid, you know? Last year, Sam was going to be the savior. We're going to have this new offense. Tommy's gone. We got wide receivers. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We thought we had wide receivers, I should say. But when he came in, he was, the number one quarterback in the transfer portal. He did all this at Wake Forest. He did all this. He's leading the nation. He's led the nation in throwing and all this. Where Riley Leonard's coming in, and it's not, he doesn't have any of the accolades. He's went from being maybe a first round pick to like the 20th best quarterback in the country, some websites are saying now this year. Yeah. He doesn't have nearly the panache on him that Sam Hartman had. And I think the fact that it was our first transfer quarterback last year, and we're just starving for a quarterback. This whole community, this whole Notre Dame community is just starving. And so I think last year when we got what we thought was going to be an above average quarterback, and then we saw him just be basically a Notre Dame quarterback, we were kind of like, oh, same old thing. We're not buying into this. But then we look at the guys like Deuce Knight, and we look at guys coming down the road like CJ Carr, and we're like, oh, those guys are going to be in the system. They got Mike Denbrock now. We're 2 or 3 more years. I think the 1 year quarterback rental thing didn't work out. So we're not going to look at the 1 year rental quarterback as a good thing until it works out for us. And if it doesn't work out again this year, we probably won't deal with it well ever again.
Here's what I think. For Notre Dame, the way Notre Dame builds rosters and operates, I have always felt Notre Dame's most stable path is hitching a wagon to a long-term quarterback in the program with high-end upside, hitch your wagon to him, and the operation grows together for a couple few years. I think that is the most consistently reliable way for Notre Dame to navigate this, but it's got to be the right guy at the right time to hitch that wagon to, or none of it matters at all. That's the dynamic I think we're in. And I think Freeman wants to find that guy, whether it's Carr or if it's going to be Deuce in a couple years, hitch the wagon to, and then that's your guy. I think they want to get out of this 1 year market, but they got to have the right guy to hitch the wagon to.
Yeah. And I don't even, not even for a second, do I envy how they're going to have to navigate the next few years with the quarterbacks.
Oh, it's going to be interesting.
I feel so bad for these guys. Like, how do you pick? Like, do you go next year? Do you go with Kenny Minchie because you don't want him to leave?
Yep,
and Steve's more of a person that is expendable at that point. And then you can still talk to CJ and say, you know, we just don't think you're ready in year two. Can you hold on for year three? But yet Deuce is already there, and you're going to have to tell him he's got to wait for two
exactly.
more years.
You're on it.
Wait another year behind CJ. Like, oh my God,
dude,
this is going to be like Young and the Rest for the next 3 years.
Here's my thought. Oh, the way you just laid that out, it's beautiful, man. Here's my thought. I can't wait for this because I don't have to make those tough decisions, and I don't have to disappoint one of these.
Right.
I don't have to tell a couple of these kids, we really love you. You've done everything we asked, but you're not going to play here. Like, I'm looking forward to it because I think we have a lot of good options, and I'm not the one who has to break this news, but something's got to give, man. And here's what you can't do. What you can't do is go with the wrong guy and the right guy leaves. That's the only way they totally screw this up, is hitching their wagon to the wrong dude and the right dude doesn't want to wait around and he leaves, and then you're double screwed. That's the only catastrophic thing here they need to avoid with these quarterbacks, is doing that. So you got to hope Gino and Denbrock know what they're looking at, know what they're looking for, and know how to evaluate what they're getting. But you're right. This is a wild dynamic. It is.
It's terrifying looking at 2 years down
way.
The road.
In a good way.
CJ Carr playing in the playoffs against Kenny Minchie, who's playing for Ole Miss. And we're two tiers into the playoffs, and we got to play our ex-quarterback who's just ready to kill us. You know what I mean? It's a great problem to have, and I'm glad we're at a point at Notre Dame where we're actually having this conversation instead of, well, I mean, maybe Ian Book's going to be good enough to fill in for a year until the next guy comes in. This is such a better place, but
you're right.
It's crazy.
You're totally right.
It's going to be insane.
Here's the other way to look at it. You look at what we have in the we have four quarterbacks now this spring. Everybody's genuinely interested in and has good feelings about, wants to see more from. Four. That is four more than we've had a lot of years. I go to watch the Blue and Gold game. They literally have four, and they have a fifth coming in who's more physically gifted than the first four in Deuce. You have all that. Compare that to the last couple Notre Dame quarterbacks. One of them isn't even in football anymore, and the other one wasn't in football till a couple days ago, and now he's going to go be a clipboard holder at Mizzou. This is a night and day situation in terms of what's available to us at quarterback. Now, the recruiting has taken a notch up, and hopefully with my homeboy Gino and Denbrock, maybe they got to dial up an offense, baby. Could you imagine a Notre Dame offense that could actually run the ball and pass it a little bit reliably? Unbelievable to think about. Imagine that.
I can't even believe it.
I know. What is that?
I can't even believe it.
I can't believe it either.
Unbelievable to see.
I can't believe it either. Imagine that. Let me blow your mind, caller. Let me blow your mind. What if Notre Dame had a season where in a big game, You didn't only have to rely on the defense for a chance to win. Are you following me? How many big Notre Dame games we break down and you go, how does Notre Dame win it? And I go, I know how. The defense has to pitch a shutout, get two pick sixes. We need to block a punt. And then maybe we could kick a field goal and we'll win. What if Notre Dame had an equally representative team where each side of the ball did their part in a winning effort? We have not had that in big games at Notre Dame for like 30 years.
Well, I'll say it like this, John. An average Notre Dame fan like myself, I wouldn't say average. Obviously, I'm a psycho. I'm listening to your show on a Wednesday.
Well, then you're March. You're definitely a psycho. Don't even worry about that. You definitely are.
Right, but look how bad your blood pressure is when the game's 17-14. Just imagine what your blood pressure is going to be when it's 42-43 going down and we're going back and forth, driving back and forth, and the last score scores. Usually it's when it's a Notre Dame game, whosever defense gets a stop late wins, where now it's going to be whoever's offense has the ball at the end of the game is going to win, and that's going to be so fun to watch.
I hope we don't even end up in that situation because Notre Dame's defense is good enough that they're doing their thing, man. That's the other thing. I want this defense. We've been talking about the offense. I want that defense to go from top 10 and get it down to around 5, 6, 7 with some more Abbott plays behind the line of scrimmage, more sacks there. I want to see a little bit more of that action. I'm telling you, this needs to be a year Notre Dame has a good year. It just needs to be. Everything's there. There's more ingredients there to make this realistic than what we had the first 2 years at Freeman when we hoped things would come together. I think there's more actual practical ingredients to make this work now.
Hey, John, I got one more question for you before I get off. I've been listening to Mike Singer talk about Jordan Faison this offseason, and he's not real high on Jordan Faison, and I've been doing some thinking about this, and I've been listening to all of the talk this offseason, and Freeman saying that, you know, Faison's number one sport is lacrosse. He's got to concentrate on that. He's going to be more focused on that all spring, and Singer has been reporting that he doesn't think Faison's going to be that big of a target, I guess, next year. He thinks he's going to be about what he was his freshman year. And I'm starting to agree with that. I'm starting to think that Faison's slot position, now that we have the outside receivers where we need them, that means Greathouse is going to move inside. We already, that new transfer, the kid that's supposed to return.
Mitchell?
Pick explorers. The Harrison one. That came from Marshall. Henderson or something like that. They said he plays like Tyreek Hill. He said he looks like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Marshall return man. He's supposed to be playing the slot too. And I think slot was already our best receiver position before. And I could see where Faison just doesn't, you know, because he was a walk-on lacrosse player. You know, he's not supposed to do what he did at Notre Dame last year. If we have a great wide receiver room, he probably doesn't play much last year. You know what I mean? And I'm just wondering, now that our wide receiver room is going to be getting back to where it should be, does that mean Faison gets a little bit pushed out now?
Maybe. Maybe it does. And I've been saying this forever about Faison. It was a revelation to find. He was the best receiver Notre Dame had the second half of the year, and it was awesome. But I always remind people, the way we found him was really embarrassing. The only reason he even got a chance to go out there and catch passes because we've been doing such an awful job recruiting, retaining, and developing receivers. So you need to understand, we found that little gem because we were so bad. So that should be good and bad when you process it also. Listen, Faison is one of those guys who has a little bit of that it, meaning he's got a feel for football. He's got a feel to get open. He's got some wiggle. He's one of those guys. If he could be a cherry on top and not be relied upon, I think that's the great spot to be. Do you follow me? Like, if he doesn't have to be relied upon every time, like you're the guy, but if he could be a little extra piece, you drop in here and there, That, I think, could be a sweet spot. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. Yeah, you're probably right there. Like, he's more of a, you throw him in there and get him some, yeah.
But I still do want to say, I do see a little something in him, like that, a natural little it factor as far as just like having the wiggle in the field to find a spot to be open, to make a play and do all this.
But do you see that just because our wide receivers have been so horrible last few years, you know, is that why you see it like that?
Maybe, but I think a little bit of it is genuine juice, and it's not physically gifted. I want to be clear. It's not like Michael Floyd physical gifts. No, I'm talking about that little football it factor, a guy that just knows how to get open, a guy that just finds a spot in a zone to get open and has a little wiggle. He's got a little bit of that natural juice to him. But I want to reiterate, and Kent says, you know, it's real bad when you guys got to rely on a walk-on lacrosse player in the offseason. Yeah, no kidding, Kent. No kidding. Notre Dame's wide receiver situation has been beyond embarrassing forever. And the fact that Notre Dame can't find a bunch of quarterbacks, and how have we not been able to find good quarterbacks and receivers that want to put on a gold helmet and play for Notre Dame? It has been really a dark age that we have not been able to find that. It's a joke.
It's been a lazy age.
Yep. That's a good way to put it.
Yep. Well, John, I got to get going. I will see you. I bring the cake every year, and this year my birthday on the 4th. It's not my birthday. It's 4/19.
Dude.
And you remember when we were kids and like you and your friends would hang out with your parents, you know, every now and then. And you would say something that you didn't think your parents would understand. Well, my friends used to always say, oh, why don't you guys wait one more day to have Josh on 4/20? It's such a better day. And my parents would be like, why? What's so good about 4/20? And now 4/20 is like this big deal. My parents always say, you know, we should have had you on 4/20, just like your friends used to tell us all the time, thinking we were idiots and didn't know what you guys were talking about.
So. Yeah, it is really, and you always have a theme to the cakes, which I really do appreciate. The first one was congratulatory for what we were building here. And then the one for the actual game last year, there was a cake for me breaking out of Twitter jail when I got in trouble for going after an Ohio State guy. Yeah. And I was in Twitter jail, and it was a hacksaw of me getting out. I'm afraid to ask about the ingredients and the decoration on a 4/20 cake. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what we're going to get.
Decorations are going to be crazy.
I don't know what we're going to get if we have a cake on 4/20, man. Smoke weed. Cue the Nate dog. Smoke weed every day.
Well, last year, Angela's kids were the only ones that ate the cake, so I can't put any special ingredients in the cake for the kids, but a little extra green on
it. I remember you walking up and it's like freezing rain sideways, and here you come with this beautiful cake, and it's just like, it was the funniest dynamic to see this beautifully made cake where it's, and it's just the weather and everything's whipping around, and here we are with this cake. Yeah. It was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. I'm excited to see everybody
sitting under the table, staying out of the rain, eating cake under the tables just because raining so bad. Oh man, that weather was so bad. I looked at the forecast and they said it looks like it's going to be 60s and clear that day.
Yeah, right.
For the extended forecast. Yeah. How much of that it's true, who knows, you know?
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. I don't trust any weather around that dumb lake. Hey man, this was a good call. Really good to catch up with you, and I look forward to seeing you here in a few weeks, man. Thanks for everything. Thanks for the support.
Yeah, no problem. If you need anything, just let me know. Okay, John?
I really appreciate that. Thank you, man. See ya.
Yeah, we'll see ya. Bye.
What a nice guy. Got some nice people around here. Some really nice people around here. Nick, are you talking about the article about greed or whatever, something like that? Because, yeah, I think I saw that. Jay, need that Always Irish pint glass in the merch store? The problem I'm having is the vendors I source for these glasses are not offering good deals for me or you guys. I want to do coffee mugs and pint glasses and that kind of thing, but I'm really finding it's hard to find a vendor that isn't a ripoff, charging a ridiculous amount for one glass. Nobody just wants one glass. I want to offer like a set. I'm really having trouble with the sourcing for that kind of thing with how I got to do it for Shopify and all that. So I don't know, man. It's kind of a pain. Adam says, the best programs have QB stacked. This shows how far ND has been behind. It is genuinely humiliating to think of Notre Dame's recent quarterback lineage. Truly embarrassing. Just not big time football. Not serious football, not big time football. I don't understand it. It's the most important individual position in all of sports. And Notre Dame was bad at it forever. I just hope we're done with it. Let's just put it that way. $5 holler from Adam. Texas A&M ticket prices are awfully expensive for being irrelevant. Yeah, you know, when every time those irrelevant teams come to town, we sell out and the market goes crazy. Said nobody. Said nobody. Oh, look at Dr. John taking a little shot. John, you must take some responsibility for the smoke around Hartman. I don't know what gives you that idea that I was building the guy up, other than when I told everybody all summer to go to the tailgate to buy his autograph that I was hosting the event for. John, there's really no wiggle room for me to get out of that one. I was the guy going, oh, Hartman's coming to town. I'm hosting his NIL event. He's going to sign an autograph. What an idiot I was. Unbelievable. He's good looking now. He's good looking. He just forgot how to complete passes against Clemson. I don't understand. Can't wait to watch the male cheerleaders sit quietly on the sideline when A&M can't score against the elite ND defense. Ooh, baby. Oh, I like the way that sounds. Ooh, I like the way that sounds. I was reading a little bit about their quarterback, about A&M's quarterback, and he was injured kind of like on a good path, it seemed, but then he got injured and then he missed a bunch of games and now he's coming back. I don't know what they're going to get, but I need our defense to win the day. I need that defense to win the day, man. That was admirable, John. I mean, I got to admit it. I was the guy, oh, we got a guy who can throw the ball this time. Silly me. Just saw Indy listed as a 1.5 underdog to Texas A&M on FanDuel. I bet that flips over the summer. Me too. I bet you that does. I bet you that flips too. Adam saying that kid's a former five-star. Yeah, we had a... Man. Michael, what's going on, buddy? Brian Kelly built this system that was always coming up with an excuse to cover, not measuring up to the next legendary Notre Dame head coach, Lou Alts. So he kept everyone out. Man, it's just one of these years you feel like everything's going to come together. One of these years, everything's going to come together. You're going to have the right group of players and the right blend there with the right coach, and it can all just come together and we be decent. I need it. I need that in my life. All right. This was a fun show, you guys. We're going to wrap it up. I got something I got to go do. I got stuff I got to record later. Thank you for all the donations. We got a bunch of callers today, some good chats. We bounced all over the place. What do you mean, wait, Pat? I got things to do. Times I got to be places to do things. He's already making excuses at LSU if you listen to him 100%. Every Kelly press conference is excuses. He just gets good at how he blends it in. That's why. No, you don't. How do you guys know what I have to do today? Martinez, what's going on? Why does everybody care where I have to be? I have things I need to do. Everybody cares where I'm going to be for. Thank you guys for being here. Maybe we should really do a show on the weekend this week. Yeah, I'm really interested. That LSU USC game, man, that's interesting. John has a life to live. I mean, I'm not going to go that far. Just because I have stuff to do doesn't mean I have a life to live. You can leave, but leave the chat on. Yeah. Oh, Pat's going to be in St. Louis. Who knows, man? I can't keep up with Pat. He's all around. He's all around the world. But thank you, guys. This was a really, really fun show. Thanks for the donations. Thanks for the chats. Really good callers today. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.